This is reel three. Now tell me about how much trench digging you did and what kind of trenches you dug.
Well, I'd done very little trench digging before I went to France. If I had, it wouldn't have stood me in any good stead at all, because I was at Felixstowe, where it was all sand and gravel. When I got to France, it was all mud, and the trenches, the first time out there, 1915, they were already dug. If not, a shell would soon dig one for you. But the trench digging as such, I wasn't in an area where there was much of that done. Where I went to after I came back from France...
No, but we're talking about where you were doing your training.
Training, yes.
Yeah, how much digging did you do there? And what sort of trenches did you dig?
We didn't dig a trench in the 3rd Battalion Norfolk Regiment from the time I joined the army until I went to France.
You didn't?
We never dug a trench at all. That was afterwards, because there'd been no raids or anything at that time, and there was no trenches that we manned. These guard duties that we'd done were on the main roads.
Yeah.
There was no question of getting into a dugout or anything of that sort. We'd got huts. There were huts beside the road, points. There were trenches dug at Felixstowe, Old Felixstowe especially, afterwards, because after I came home, we had to get into them when there was a raid on.
Yeah, but this wasn't part of your training?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, so it wasn't until you got out to France in the autumn of 1915 that you did any trench work.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, excepting the machine gun training was more intensive than the infantry training was.
In what way?
Well, the old boy was very enthusiastic, and you'd have to run and take cover, pick up a position. He'd send one section out to defend a position, and he'd be umpire, just as we did in the Home Guard during the last war.
Yeah.
And that stood us in good stead. You'd run and take up a position with a gun. Number one would take the tripod.
Yeah.
Number two, the gun. Right, this is a position. It was number one's job to sight the gun. Number two's job to place the gun on the tripod and lay down immediately and take a box of ammo from the number three, four or five, whoever got there first with it, and feed that in, load and fire.
Mm.
Only dummies, well, we didn't. We went through the motions, excepting on the range. Well, there you didn't select a position. You were given a static position.
This was still with the machine gun?
Yes.
Well, did you dig an entrenchment for the machine gun?
No, they were already dug.
What kind of entrenchments were they?
They were only sandbag embankments. Of course, in a sunken, an old gravel pit we had down there. Of course, I mean, you couldn't go far in machine gun, live machine guns, bullets out in the open. They had to go into, well, a bank, a sandbag in a bank, because we were right near the Orwell, near the river, you see, that run from opposite Harry's where we trained. The old Martella Tower was there.
Yeah. Was there anything else in your training which played an important part, apart from the things you've already mentioned? Or was that about it?
I think so. I can't think of anything. I know one, shall I say, amusing incident.
Yeah.
When we went to finish the last day, well, I won't say it was the last day I was with them, but the day we passed out, there was about a dozen at a time, went from the regiment to the machine gun section. And we fired this burst of six to begin with at a target. Only a short range, 30 yards. And I know old, I shall now see him, old Lieutenant Bevan was his name. two guns, and you had to fire on the order. You got number one target, number two target, and whistle. It was done with whistle. You were, right, loaded, load. Yeah, hand up when ready. Right, whistle, fire. At your own time, you took aim and fired at this target. Well, now the most peculiar thing was, from a gun, a machine gun, I remember it so well, at target practice, because you'd never know in reality if you were on, you know, but at target practice, you invariably had a group with a machine gun, a group, but one wide. Well, now, I fired six rounds, couldn't fire any more because there was a blank space, you see.
Yeah.
Your belt was loaded for that purpose. And he said, I've never seen a group of six like it, because you usually have your first one. So it's theory as far as I'm concerned, and I don't think anyone else can prove it otherwise. The first bullet should be slightly out, mind you, touching, but slightly out, owing to the fact it's not a cold, but a comparatively cold barrel. My group, whether it was luck, I was lucky enough to follow someone, and it was a hot day, or not, it was summertime, I had a group of six, which the old man, the old lieutenant, covered with a shilling. You couldn't see the edge of the hole.
Yeah.
And he said, I've never seen anything like it. There's usually, and the others were there, the other targets were there to prove it.
Yeah.
Now, he gave me the shilling.
Was there anything else at all that figured largely in the training you got at this time?
I think we've covered it by the fact that I said originally, I don't know if it was when you were recording, it saved my life by being a fully trained machine gunner. Because I should have gone to the Essex Regiment, and I should have in all probability have gone down to the Royal Edward.
Can I ask you this question? Were there any kinds of things which you found you had to do when you got to France that your training really hadn't prepared you very well for?
Well, yes, indeed. We never expected the mud, blood and shit that we'd got to put up with. Oh, the lousiness and dirtiness. I mean, that's another side to it.
Yeah. Well, can you think of any particular things, any particular kinds of things which happened and you felt, well, God, I didn't have any training to do this and I wasn't quite sure what to do?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Again, in France, and one particular instance in particular, a Lieutenant Venn was in charge of the machine gun section of the 7th Battalion Norfolk Regiment. We were under Lieutenant Venn, and of course there was a section in the line all the time, some in reserve, but and he would come up, not every night, but most nights. He was a conscientious officer.
Yeah.
And one night I was on duty. We had an hour on and two off during the night on the fire step. But you then still got to keep your head down because we weren't far away from the Germans up at Hullet. I can tell you that.
Yeah. What was it that happened?
Well, we saw a working party, a German working party. We'd got our machine gun emplacements in the trenches at Hullock. You'd got to slosh through the water, but you'd got your fire step that you'd get onto. And peering over periodically, I being on duty on the gun, one particular night, when the officer came, and I seen anything, Smith? I said, there's a working party out in front, sir. He had to look. We said, come on. Bring the gun down here. Now, this is a point. He wouldn't let me fire that gun from our static position. I mean, he was there before I was. and I was glad he knew more than I did. He said, bring your gun. I didn't move the tripod at all. I just picked the gun off the tripod, pulled the pin out, carried the gun, and a box of ammunition, 250 rounds. It was already loaded. Then I could manage that. And carried it down the trench. The trenches were zigzag.
Yeah.
That's the best description I can give you. And the French were on our right. We went about 100 yards to the right. But bypassed some of our boys. Of course, they were, where are you going? Where are you going? And we were, hold on. Right, this'll do. Laid the gun on a sandbag and fired at this working party. We didn't fire the full belt, but we fired perhaps 100 rounds. And, right, scramble,
yeah,
back to our position. And by the time we got back, there were trench mortars dropping on the point, yeah, where we'd fired from.
You're losing me a bit here. What was it that you're trying to say happened, which you hadn't been prepared for?
Well, we'd been trained, as I've told you, to fire from a sandbag static position. Well, that static position, when we got to France, was there in case of a German advance.
Yeah.
You would certainly fire from your static position.
Yeah.
But if something happened, as an incident that I've just mentioned,
yeah,
you want to fire from there temporarily,
yeah,
you wouldn't disclose that you'd got a gun emplacement in that particular spot.
Yeah.
Because before we'd left there 10 minutes, the whole place was blown up where we'd fired from.
Yeah.
Naturally, they'd pinpoint that position. Yeah. If we'd fired that burst from our proper gun position, well, naturally, nobody had ever thought of training people for that contingency, had they?
No, I see, yeah. Were there any other examples of things like that which you weren't prepared for and which came as a surprise?
Well, so many things, not in actual fighting, but the one thing that we found there that we'd never had experiences of was your trench mortars. I mean, until we got there, we'd never heard about a trench mortar. I mean, they could be lobbed over from 100 yards, and in daylight, you could see the blessed things. You'd never get hit by them, excepting on one occasion, a fellow, his name was Yates, I remember well. He was hit because he saw it coming. We called to him, Ron, and run right or left behind a traverse, and it would drop in your trench, and you'd laugh at it afterwards because you could see it coming. And after it got to its apex, you could see the direction where it was coming to. All you'd got to do was just run round a traverse and let it explode. And this boy couldn't move, and it actually came down. He'd got a ground sheet. It was raining a bit at the time, an old ground cape, ground sheet over for a cape, and it split it all the way down. And we, of course, two of us run and pulled him away, but it didn't explode.
So you hadn't been prepared to expect this kind of weapon to
be
used? Oh
dear, no. I'd never heard anything about it at all.
Yeah.
I can read about it now.
Yeah. Anything else like that which came as a surprise?
Well, they couldn't. Is it possible for them to give you training for those kind of things? I don't think it would be, because after all, in training, you were in the open country, of course, or in a wood, if you like, when you went on a route march. But how on earth could they possibly train you for actualities?
Yeah, I see the problem, but I still would like to know what other kinds of things came as a surprise to you.
Well, your whiz bangs. Good God. And, as I say, the conditions were, I don't think anyone, and that is why I wonder why we talk about it. I mean, we have laughed at one another, put your hand in here and say, come on, of course, love me. Go on, I'll give you a big one for two little ones, and they'd all be alive. You know, it's silly to talk about such things, I suppose.
This but was nice. Yes,
they actually happened.
Yeah. What did you do about them?
Well, you could do nothing about them. Even when you went on your rest, then at that static period after Lowe's up at Hullock, near the Labassie Canal, we were in trenches, and the front line trenches were only a short distance from the Germans. But you had so many days in, 4 days in and four out usually, and we'd march back to a village called Salles-les-Bourges, halfway between Vermilles and Bethune.
Yeah.
But even there, when you got there, if you got a change of clothing, shirts, etc., you were lousy again because the straw you went and laid in were creeping about the place before you got to them. I never had a chance to get deloused, if I may use the proper term, until after I got hit.
But weren't there delousing stations?
Never, I never saw one, excepting when you got back, as I say.
Yeah.
When you got back somewhere after you got hit or something like that, I never saw one. Neither in 1915 or in 1918.
Yeah. Can we talk a bit about your equipment?
Well, it was webbing
at
that time.
I mean, did you find when you got out to France that your equipment was deficient in any way? That there were things you needed which you didn't have?
No. We found they were just as cumbersome as they'd been on route marches.
But you had everything which
well,
you needed?
Yes. The only occasion I ever had to use